Ecclesiastes chapter 9, Proverbs chapter 22. If you found your place and you're able, let's stand to our feet tonight. We're going to start in the book of Proverbs chapter 22. Feel comfortable and feel confident that's where the Lord would have us to be. The Bible says in verse number 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. Let's pray. Now, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this night. And God, I thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, you know our hearts not settled. And God, you know our hearts torn between scriptures. And Lord, I pray that this would edify and glorify your name tonight. Lord, I pray that we'd be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you'd forgive us of our sins. Lord, I pray that you'd forgive us of our shortcomings. And Lord, I need your touch tonight. Lord, I'm torn. And God, I need peace in my heart on what direction to go. And Lord, I give you the glory tonight. This is by your hand. And Lord, I realize by your hand we're fed tonight. Lord, your children need to be fed. And God, I pray, Lord, that we'd just be an instrument that you'd use us, Lord. God, I love you. And Lord, I thank you for saving me. Lord, I pray you'd help us, your preacher. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And all of God's children said, amen. You may be seated tonight. Proverbs chapter 22, very, very familiar verse in verse number 1. Often preached, often referenced, and tonight we are going to reference it, but that's not where our message will come from. And I want you to know something tonight, that my heart is torn between Ecclesiastes and Proverbs. And you'll find that through the book of Proverbs and through Ecclesiastes and through the Song of Solomon. You'll see the wisdom of Solomon begin to pour out. And him to help people. Now, I realize tonight that some people say, preacher, you ought not preach with Solomon, and you ought not compare him, and you ought not direct him because of the way his life was and the concubines that he had. But let me say this, Solomon desired a wise thing from God. And let me say this tonight, when he chose wisdom, he chose a touch of God on his life. And tonight I ask the question to you, how often do you ask for God to give you wisdom? Many of us pray and we say, God, I want you to answer this and I want you to answer that. And God, I want you to do this and God, I want you to do that. How often do we pray and say, God, give me the wisdom to make the decisions to get through it? But Solomon wrote in the book of Proverbs, he said, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Now, we preached many messages out of this, and we went through the book of Ecclesiastes, and we went all the way through Revelation talking about our good name. And I've even preached a message out of this pulpit entitled, What Will Your Legacy Be? When you're dead and gone, what will people remember you by? Well, tonight I want you to focus on this. What is your reputation in the community right now? What is your reputation in the community right now? I want you to notice in Ecclesiastes chapter number 9 tonight, the Bible says, for all this I considered in my heart, even to declare this, that the righteous and the wise and the works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth, to him that sacrificeth not, as is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Now, let me say this to you tonight. I want you to get a hold of this. Solomon wrote in verse number 2 of Proverbs chapter 22, the rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. Now tonight, he said in verse number 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold. And he comes to Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, and he begins to write again. And he begins to pin this down in verse number 1. For all this I considered in my heart, even declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and the works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. Verse number 2, all things come alike to all. And what he was trying to get at is there's one thing certain about mankind. There's one thing certain about the animals. There's one thing certain, Brother Odin, about the president. There's one thing that is certain about the Senate. And if you watch the news any this week, I'm going to be honest with you. That Supreme Court, and they're talking about this justice dying and talking about there could have been foul play and they could have been this or they could have been that. But I'm going to say something to you. He may have been the head judge over America, but I'm going to say this. He stood before the great judge. And I'm going to be honest with you, I hope his heart was right with God, but there is something we must understand tonight, is whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're Hispanic, whether you're saved, whether you're lost, whether you're living right, whether you're living in sin, whether you're serving God, you're partying with the devil, every person is going to die. It is purpose that. Why do you think Paul recorded to the church at Rome that for the wages of sin is death? Solomon realized this in the Old Testament. He had a moment of epiphany, Brother Johnny, where he decided, he figured something out. He said, we are all going to die. And he said, not only are we going to die, but in the book of Proverbs, he said, we're going to meet. Can I say to you tonight, we're going to meet together. We've preached that great white throne judgment. When all of the dead and all those that are in hell and when all the souls and even the saved and the church is gathered around that great white throne and they are judged. And death, hell, and the grave is cast in the lake of fire. Solomon realized this. He got a hold of it. You know what amazes me today? Is we really don't think we're going to die. Be honest. Ty Benton back there right now, Timmy, nothing bothers him. He can get hit on a football field. He might be a little sore, but by the next afternoon, he's popped up ready to go again. Now you take Paul and let him get hit on the football field. 3 weeks later, he's still complaining. Something happens. The older generation realizes their days are few. My generation realizes we're getting older. But the younger generation thinks it'll never happen to them. And you know what's sad today? Is there are people sitting on church pews across America tonight that don't think they're going to die. That don't think that that'll ever happen to them. That don't think it'll ever come their way. And you know what some of them think? They even believe in their heart that they'll work things out with God when they get there. But can I tell you, that ain't going to happen. Solomon recorded this. Now, what I find interesting in chapter number 9 and chapter 22 of the book, Proverbs chapter 9 and Ecclesiastes, what I find interesting is what verse number 1 and the significance that it has on this scripture. What he's trying to tell us. What he's trying to get through to us. And tonight, you bear with me for just a few minutes, and I'm going to try to help you, and then we're going to go home, or you can stay and work on books or whatever you want to do tonight. But there are some things that I want you to get out of this tonight. He says, a good name. A good name. Now, tonight, I could call out any name in here, and some of you would have an answer. I could call out Jordan. Somebody would say Michael. Somebody would say basketball player. I could call out Dale Earnhardt. The first thing that would come to mind is he's a race car driver. I could call out President Obama and somebody would say he's a bad president. I put that nicely for you tonight. I could call out that Donald Trump, somebody have something to say. And I'm going to be honest with you tonight. Our country is in a hurting mess right now. I'm going to be honest with you. Now, me and my wife were talking, and I don't try to persuade you to vote one way. I don't try to tell you what way you need to vote. What I'm telling you right now, you need to seek God's face and pray and search out and ask God who He would have you to cast your vote for. Y'all agree with that? I'm going to tell you what. God will give us just what we ask for if we don't ask Him for it. And can I say to you tonight, I could call out names. I could call out Vladimir Putin and somebody say he's Russia. He's the dictator in Russia. I call out Osama bin Laden. Some of you would say he was a terrorist. I could call out Bud Wishon. Some of y'all say that's a devout man of God. Amen. I could call out a church name tonight. Some of you say they don't do nothing but fight and bicker and argue. Amen. Let's be honest. Let's put it out there tonight. How about that? I could call out some preacher's names and some of you go, psh, ain't got no use for him. Call out Joel Osteen. First thing I say, oh, he smiles all the time. And call out John Hagee. Some of y'all say, well, he's a prophetical preacher, but I don't agree with him. He's married twice. He shouldn't be holding the office of preacher. Some of you to say that tonight. I call out Clark Kent. Somebody say, oh, he was Superman. I call out these names, and boy, you could rattle them off real quick. But let me ask you something tonight. When your name's called out, what's your reputation? Tonight, when they call out Ryan Hall, first person in Lowe's would say, he's a mechanic. He works on the Ford trucks. He works outside. Ask Robbie. Robbie would say he don't do nothing but play on the phone. Ryan say Robbie don't do nothing but hide behind his toolbox. I don't know. I've heard them argue that out after church. That's the reason I use it. They give me a little bit of ammunition. They just didn't know it. And I call out Gwen Sparks. Somebody might say something. I call out Johnny Arnold. Somebody might say so. Matter of fact, Johnny, I hope your ears was burning last Thursday night. You was getting talked about. And then we run into Johnny Creed. And the first thing he said, he was old drunk back in the day. He said, God turned that man's life around. Let me ask you something now. If they called out Chuck Morrison, called out Kevin Blevins, what would they say? You know what's important tonight? Would they say they're a Christian? They walk with God. They seek God's face. They pray with God. Or would they say, boy, there's biggest hypocrite you ever seen. You see, now we've got one chance in this life. One opportunity. One day. One purpose. And tonight, what do they say about us? Let me ask you this tonight. I want you to go even deeper. Every day at work, Brother Ryan, I have to wear a light-on polo shirt. Some days I don't, just depending on who's going to be there. Some days I have to dress up a little more than just a normal day. Like last Friday, I had to dress up. I had to wear a nice pair of blue jeans, wear a nice shirt, had to look nice, look very presentable, had to be in my best behavior. And I don't understand. They still wanted me to get greasy. And I said, uh-uh. But it represents the company. Got a man in the shop. Nothing to do him, but he wants light off stuff. I don't understand if he's going to put it on eBay, if he's putting it on his hearth, what he's doing. They give him a shirt, he won't never wear it. Nothing to do him today, but he wanted a hat that said light off. So we found, we scrounged around, got him a hat that said light off. Don't understand why, but that's what he wanted. And somebody said, well, that's so you can advertise the company. I got to thinking about something throughout that, and everywhere we go in my truck, there's a sticker that says Ronda Baptist Tabernacle. There's a sticker. Amen. Throughout your cars out here in the parking lot, I took note when I come in, the majority of the vehicles sitting out in this parking lot has a Ronda Baptist Tabernacle sticker on the back of it. That's great. That's great. But do you realize when you go down and you're somewhere you shouldn't be? You're at somewhere doing something you shouldn't be at. You're taking the church name with you. Let's be honest with it. People watch you how you conduct yourself getting in the car. People watch you how you act while you're in public. And they might see you throw a fit. And when they see you walking in your car, they say, I don't want to go to that church. Solomon said a good name. What do you mean by a good name? Now I'm going to say a name tonight. I want to ask you, how many of you know who it is? Nimrod. Anybody know about Nimrod? Todd, do you know who Nimrod is? Tim, you should have named him Nimrod. Anybody? Slip your hand up, you know who Nimrod is. It's in your Bible. Nimrod was a great hunter. His name had meaning. It meant hunter. Joshua in the Bible means a warrior. Jesus means the Messiah. Can I ask you now, how many of you ever thought what the importance of your name was? You know what Ty means, Timmy? And I'm picking on him now, I don't know why, but you know what Ty means? It means I'm going to kill him because he makes me hang them things around my neck on Sundays. Didn't think about that one, did you, Ty? But have you ever thought about what your name means? Solomon said a good name. So tonight we physically think of a good name. But why should we have a good name? Verse number 2 says, we're all going to meet. Do you realize today you meet those same people here on earth? The homeless man down here on the side of the road that you don't want to tell him about Jesus, you're going to meet him one day. The lost employees at work, you're going to meet them one day. You're going to see somebody coming. I hate to say this tonight, but we're very judgmental people. Do you agree? Do you agree? Let's be honest with you. It's like Andy Griffith. You could watch them in that church, Brother Ryan. They were out. I mean, it was over. They decided right away they didn't like the preacher because they was going to go sleep on him. Tonight, if I mention their name, you could tell me more characteristics about them, yet you still not know them. Do you realize tonight that Michael Jordan still has a soul that needs to be saved? I don't know if he's saved or not. Do you realize tonight that Trump, Donald Trump, still will die and go to hell without Jesus? Do you know that Barack Obama, though he is the President of the United States, he is going to die and meet Jesus? Every person we know, those we don't know, we are going to meet. Solomon had that understood. And he said this meeting, he said it's not going to just be the righteous. It's not just going to be the people in the church. It's not just going to be the wealthy. It's not going to just be the knowledge, but it's going to be everybody. He said every name is going to be there. I find it interesting when I started looking into this. In verse number 5, he says, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. How many of you would agree with Solomon tonight? The living know that we're going to die. We know what's coming. I mean, if you don't know what's coming, go buy the hospice home. We'll be honest with you. It's kind of sad when a person goes there. They can no longer eat. They can no longer drink. They can no longer sustain themselves. And they're just deteriorating, waiting on death. But you know what? The dead don't know anything. Now, I want to say this to you tonight. Physically speaking, I agree. How many of you have ever walked up to a dead body on a viewing and said, wave your arm, and they did it? They don't. They don't respond. But yet, spiritually speaking, the dead knows everything. And I want you to notice what he says. For the living know they shall die. Let me ask you something now. How many of you are going to die tonight? I'll agree. But I'm going to say this tonight. This flesh may die, but I'll live forever. You know how I know that I'll live forever? Do you know how I know that when we have that meeting that Joshua Blevins is taken care of? It's because, Robbie, I chose a name above my name. I chose a name, as the book of Hebrews says, that's higher than the angels. I chose a name that when His name is spoken, that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. You know what I found interesting about this is the devil has fooled so many people. If you study along in the book of Ecclesiastes, it'll run you to the book of Ezekiel. And you'll find there in the book of the Ezekiel, as it's talking about Lucifer himself, it says that he was in the garden, that he was a cherubim, and that he was a beautiful creature, and that he was created for light. And he'll tell you all the wonderfulness about him, all the stones that he beholds, and all of his beauty, but it'll talk about his sin. And you know tonight, we have to be careful. Because we chose a good name. We chose a good name. But all it takes is a little folly. Book of Ecclesiastes, I'm not going to try to search it out right now. But the book of Ecclesiastes talks about just a small amount of folly will ruin your reputation. You know what, tonight, when we sin, do you realize this tonight? When we sin, it does not affect us and us alone. Let me ask you tonight. Brother Odine, if Brother Robert ain't here, I can't use him tonight, but if me and my wife left from here and I went to Walmart and I picked up a six-pack of beer and put it in my buggy and I walked out to my car, now I'm my own man. She can say whatever she wants to say. She can say whatever she wants to say, Brother Chuck. She can fuss. She might preach one of the beautifulest, best messages that I ever needed to hear if I'd done that. But if I did that and I walked out to my truck and I put that six-pack of beer in my truck, handled it, everybody seen, I said, guess what? That not only affects me, it affects my wife, it affects my dad. Because you know what they're going to say? Well, that's Kevin's son. That's Joanne's boy. Then you know what they're going to say? Well, ask the preacher over there at Rhonda Tabernacle. Guess what? Not only does my sin affect me and affect my wife and affect my child, because she's probably going to leave me. Be honest. She's probably going to pack her stuff up and go to the Brooks Plantation over off Haystack Road. And that's probably going to be it. By the time Mickey gets a hold of it, it's over. It's over. So there went my family. There's two lives. Then it affects my mother and my father. That's four lives. Then it affects my brother and his wife and his children. That's a football team right there. But then it comes in and affects Rhonda Tabernacle. When you look around tonight and you say, oh, preacher, there ain't that many people here. But yet on Sunday morning, if everybody was here on Sunday morning that goes to this church, if every single person that comes that I see was here, there would be 90 people here on any given Sunday. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, we had 60 Sunday, and I could count over five families that wasn't here. That amazes you, don't you? It just blew your mind right there. But it will affect 90 more people because of my sin. But then, you know what? It doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. Not only does it affect you, but it affects the name of this church. How many would you agree with me tonight that at one point in time, Rhonda Tabernacle did not have a good name? You know what I was told when I come here and preached the first time, Brother Johnny, where I told him I was going? Well, them people like to fight up there. He said, and I'll just tell you, there ain't none of them here now. But I was told there was a bunch of preachers sitting on a pew vying for this church. You know what I found out? If you want to get rid of preachers, start putting them to work and they'll get unfaithful real quick. Can I get a witness on that? I'm going to be honest with you, preachers don't like preaching in a nursing home. They don't, Brother Gwynn, they don't like preaching in the nursing home. They don't like preaching on the radio. They don't like preaching to a small group. They don't like the small preaching. They want the big, flashy, here I am and here I've arrived crowd to preach to. It ain't always easy. They don't want to get on a van and go out in the community and work. They don't want to get on a visitation service. They don't want to do that. But boy, they want you to roll out the red carpet when they come in. I have arrived. And you know what happened to those preachers? They started disappearing when I stayed a little while. Let me ask you this. There's still some of the remnant left of those 10 people that first Sunday morning. How many of them preachers do you see that used to be here? And you know what I'm finding out? I'll just go this way. Young preachers don't like to be put under the squeeze either. Don't like it. Those older preachers that lined up on the pews that sat here when Brother Jack was here that thought they was just going to get the church, they were going to walk right in, pounce up in the pulpit, bam, there it is. Where are they at now? Gone. Kind of like last night, Brooklyn was crying. She does that every now and then. But she was crawling. Anna had to show me. Anna comes out of her room where she's crawling on the carpet. Brooklyn, she's hollering, Brooklyn, come here, come here. And trust me, that youngin knows what come here means. And she's crawling out of the room. And she's down in the hall and Anna's going, oh, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? And she's crawling and then I hear Mama start saying, don't go in the bathroom, don't go in the bathroom. The only thing I could say was, she gone. She gone. You got her crawling, she gone now. Can I say something? They gone. They gone. You know what? There was a time when you ask about other churches around here, them people, all they want to do is fight. Run everybody off. Brother Johnny, we ain't had no big fights, have we? You know what they say when I go preach somewhere? He preaches too hard. He preaches too long. He preaches too loud. He's too excited. He's too emotional about it. Why has any man got to yell about that? I got a good response to that. Bible says, cry loud and spare not that voice. But let me ask you this. Ryan, Carrie was little at one time. Stephanie was little. And probably at some point in time, she'd really tried you by where she went. If any of your grandchildren or children was getting ready to walk out in the street, say 268 down here, not looking around, would you want me to go, Kenley, don't you go out there. You'll get squished. That car will run over you and hurt you. Or do you reckon Timmy would want me running down through there, Kenley, get out of the road, what are you doing? I think I'll take the latter half if it's Brooklyn Grace. Why do we have to be so quiet when people are dying and going to hell? There's a meeting coming. There's a meeting coming. Your name is going to be there. What's your name among the sinners? I got some buddies never been saved. They don't want to hear my name now. They don't want me to come around. Seen one of them, went to his grandpa's funeral. Seen one of them as I was coming through the line when it got close to me and my wife, he turned and walked out the side door. I've drunk a lot of beer with him sitting on the riverbank. Turned and walked out the door. Didn't want to talk to me. Didn't want to see me. I get around saved people, they're glad to see me. Glad to talk to me. What's your name in the church house? When somebody calls your name, do they say they're faithful? They love the Lord, willing to do anything? When your name is called out down here at the cafe, Brother Paul, when they talk about you, what do you reckon they say? You know what? I realize every Sunday evening, every Monday, every Wednesday night, every Thursday, I get talked about. Anybody heard that old saying, if your ears are burning, somebody's talking about you? Monday mornings, mine glow red. Tomorrow, mine will glow red. Somebody's talking about me. You know how I know somebody's talking about me? I'm going to be honest with you. I checked the website. And every month last year, we averaged 350 visitors on our church website. Since we have maintained and kept updating, this year alone, in the month of January, we had over 440 people on our website. Today alone, at 12 o'clock today, there were already 25 visitors on our website and had visited 28 times total and downloaded right at half a gigabyte of messages. But you, and you say, "Preacher, what does that mean to me?" You know what? I seen that thing take off for 3 to 4 visitors. I seen it take off to 4 or 5. And I've seen it grow. And every month it's doing this. Somebody's learning about Rhonda Tabernacle. Somebody is learning. What is our church's name when it's out? Because I'm telling you, there's a meeting coming, and I want to be on God's side. I want you to be on God's side. He said, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and love and favor rather than silver and gold. Solomon was telling us it's good to have a name. It's wonderful. He says, but finding love and favor with God is priceless. Verse 2, he said, the rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. I'll be honest with you now, not for the homosexual crowd. I'm going to be honest with you, I think it's funny. That boxer who just done so good. None of y'all watch the news any at all, do you? I kind of keep up with it. I like to know what's going on because it lets me know I'm getting closer to going home. But he said this. He said, simple, the animals are smarter than humans. This is what I find amazing. He said, the animals are smarter than humans. He says, you don't see 2 male deer shacking up, 2 female deer. He said, but you see a male and a female, opposite sexes. He said, we as people can't figure out that that ain't right when the animals can teach us that. Nike dropped him as a sponsor because they didn't agree with it. You know what amazed me? He apologized for using the comparison of animals, but said he still holds true to his values and his personal beliefs. Guess what? That didn't matter. I want to help you real quickly right here. The name these people are choosing in this life ain't a good name. Rhonda Tabernacle might not ever be nationally known or worldly known, but it's better to be in God's grace and stand with God with what's right than to be wealthy, to have knowledge, to be the smartest man on the earth, and to fit in with everybody. It's better to be with God. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.